Well, Father, we thank you for everything you're going to do tonight. Thank you for the cookies and the party everybody's going to have in the back. But we thank you for the word that we have in here, and we ask you to bless everything everybody's doing. We bind every hindering spirit, and we thank you for a good time tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all have fun back there. I'm going to make this short so I can sneak back there and see what y'all are doing. Praise the Lord. Not really. You may be seated. Woo, that was fun. Bible says to rejoice. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. My cousins are all Baptist, and which that's where I came from. And my cousin one time told me, we were down at my auntie's funeral, and she said, well, I guess if we're ever going to go see Roxanne, we're going to have to go up there and roll around on the floor with the holy rollers. I said, oh, well, we have a chandelier you can swing from. I don't think anybody ever has. And I don't know what people think, you know, but praise the Lord. We're just, you know, I mean, if you can yell at a football game, you can yell in here. Amen. Let's go over to Luke 1. We're going to drop down to the 30th verse. This is how to birth your God-given dream, unabridged, part 3. So we see the story of, I'm a little tinny, Mac, again. Where's Amanda? Okay, Amanda, maybe. Okay, so, there you go. Hallelujah. All right. So, here's the story of the angel Gabriel coming to Mary to announce the conception and birth of Jesus. And since we've read this, I don't know how many times in the last few weeks, I'm just going to pick up. This is a shorter night, so I'm going to just pick up and read verse 30. It says, the angel said to her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now, look down there at verse 37. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Okay. So, now we're talking about how to birth your God-given dream. The unabridged style here. So, the angel came. He told Mary what could be. She agreed to it. Be it done unto me according to thy word. What I did was I gave you a prequel to what we usually teach every year. And we talked about the fact that days of preparation are never wasted. When you're answering your calling, when you're doing your dream, days of preparation are not wasted. And so it's all about character. It's all about building character. And then I gave you the 5 steps Sunday. So what I want to do today is just talk a little bit about, fill it in with talking about your about goals and how to make goals. What do you do to do that? And so, you know, you have a calling, you have a destiny, and within your destiny, you have God-given dreams, and within the dreams is purpose. There are patterns. You bring all these things to pass. You have some long-range goals and you have some short-range goals. Amen. Right. And so, what I want to do is just give you the steps to goal setting then. What are just some good steps to goal setting? Because, if you're going to have God's dream in your life come to pass, you do have to do something. It's not just going to appear. Notice it just didn't appear for Mary. Now see, that's why I wanted to talk to you about days of preparation, because Mary just wasn't some little girl on the side of the road, the little Jew girl that they picked. She was prepared. She had been to temple school. Her parents were avid churchgoers. She'd been raised in a way that she could possibly handle what was going on, and she did. Amen. So you have to get prepared, and you have to do some things. So we're going to start with this, so let's just go right through it. It's not going to take us very long, but grab hold of what you can. And I've got something really, if you could pick up what I'm going to tell you when we get toward the end, I think it will really influence your life. But number one, start with prayer. Start with prayer. Prayer is the way that you jump start goal setting. Absolutely. Because if you set goals based on just you and what you want to do, you probably will just want to go ahead and forget about those and start over. Because, you know, you set goals based on what God wants to do. And that doesn't mean he's not going to like what you like. He'll like what you like, or you'll like what he likes, but you kind of start matching up with that. I'm even going to show you a way to start separating that out. It just gets really easy the further you go. So, but I would recommend that when you go to pray, and a lot of people do, we're probably at a good place because a lot of people start working on their dreams in January, don't they? They start having, what they call them, New Year's resolutions. You usually don't get very far. But we're people, we know a little bit about this. We know about goals. We know about dreams. We know we've been raised right. And so we know that it's continuous and we keep moving forward. Now, so if I were going to recommend a way for you to get into your prayer time with the Lord, I would say probably some kind of personal retreat. Something where you pull away from what you always do. Okay. And so you would pull away from your everyday activity so you could hear from God. Maybe you don't go far from home. Maybe you do. But you get it to a place where you're just not, oh, now I have to do this. Now I have to do this. You can just hear God. And then fasting helps. I know that's y'all's favorite subject. But I just heard the best example about prayer. The astronauts that went to the moon had to reach what they call an escape velocity. An escape velocity. At takeoff, the five engines that actually pushed the ones that were going to the moon up, their engines produced 7,500 pounds of thrust in order to exceed the gravitational pull of the planet. And so that just got them into orbit. But then what they had to do was they had to, they needed 25,000 miles per hour if they were going to shoot the moon. And so they needed power. Well, can I just tell you this? Prayer is the way that we escape the gravitational pull of the flesh. And we enter into God's orbit. We enter into what he's doing. You start praying. I'm talking about really praying. I'm talking about praying where you're listening to the Spirit of God in your life. Not just God, well, this is Jimmy, what you gonna give me? I'm talking about you're really just praying, or God, I need you to do this. I need you to do this. But really listen, how what are we gonna do here, Lord? And how are we gonna do this? So I would say number one would be prayer. Make some kind of little retreat for yourself, maybe fast some, and realize that eye has not seen and ear has not heard the things that God has prepared for those that love him, but the Spirit knows it. And so you have to receive these things from the Spirit, and you will be well on your way to getting yours and God's dreams coming true. Number two, check your motives. When you're starting out, just check your motives. And if you set just these selfish goals, it would be better, like I said before, just don't bother to accomplish them. You need to take a long look in the mirror, church. Take a long look in the mirror and make sure that you're going after your goals for the right reasons. We need to go after our goals for the right reasons. And I say that, but I also say, don't be real touchy about, oh, I'm just too selfish. I'm just, and be on your case all the time. There's also something called desire, and desire can be right. God gives you desires. Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. So he can begin to give you a desire to do certain things, and you follow some of those. But there again, you have to check out your motives. What are you doing it for? Are you doing it to prove something to somebody? Are you doing it just to be rich and famous? Are you doing it to be an influence in the earth for the kingdom of God? You know, and you'll find out that these things can go together, that a lot of things that you love can actually help you get to where you're going, but you just need to check your motives. So, you know, so let's just say this. If you wanted to buy a vacation home, you know, there's probably some people on the planet would think you were being selfish, but it depends on what you do. with your home? What if that's your place of prayer? What if that's your place of recreation, recreation? You go there to have a respite. Or what if it's a place that you could send ministry people so they could have a respite and rest? So there's, you know, you can't immediately just say, you shouldn't have that. I know a lot of people religious people try to do that. Y'all, some of y'all that were in Lockhart with us, remember Mr. Hallam, Walter Hallam, remember him? Well, he's a great preacher, had a pretty big church there, but his janitor had a jet. And some smart aleck religious person, asked Brother Copeland, he said, what does he need with a jet? He's a janitor. And Brother Copeland thought, man, Lord, I need to answer him properly. And this is what came out of him. Depends on what he does on the weekends. Now, that guy could have been hauling people to mission fields all over the place. You better watch who you're pointing the finger at and why they have what they have, because it can very well be being used for the kingdom of God. So don't beat yourself up over things. Just check your motives. If your motives are right, you're good. Amen. Y'all receive that? Okay, so number three, think in categories. I like this one. Think in categories. It's hard to pull life goals out of thin air. And so, you know, a cool thing to do, you know, you can look at it. Sometimes it helps us to look at other people's list, you know, their life bucket list or whatever, but never cut and paste. Never cut and paste. You got to find what God wants you to do. And so a cool thing to do would just be to divide your goals into categories, maybe five categories, maybe family, influential, experiential, physical, and travel. Maybe those would be good ones. Notice that I left the spiritual out. I kind of did that on purpose, but you know me. I'm all about spiritual goals. But my point is all of my goals have a spiritual dimension because, you know, of course we read the Bible. Of course we go to church. All those things are good. Take children on mission trips. Go on mission trips. Give to missions. Do whatever we did. Yesterday, Deb and Danny spent all afternoon into the night down here giving away toys and praying for people. Danny actually prayed for somebody to get saved. Good things were happening down here with the Crisis Network. And so they gave away thousands of gifts to people. So, you know, they're being blessed. It's going well. All these things are good. But that in itself, the service actually helps your spiritual growth. Okay? Because any goal that cultivates discipline will cultivate spiritual disciplines. Do y'all get that? If you're disciplined enough to come to Tuesday prayer, you're growing. You're growing. You know, if you add those extra things in, if you're willing to be on a team, you're growing. So, you need to check that out. So, okay, so how would vacation in Europe be something that would just be, good on your category? Well, it depends on what you're doing in Europe. But I'll tell you this, it'll lift your sights higher. Travel will lift your sights higher. Or you could be blessing someone else. Or you could be going because you're going to have a prayer destination when you get there. Or maybe you're going for any kind of reason. But just don't rule these things out, right? And so, you know, exercise, that would ends up helping your spirit as well. Vacation in the mountains or on the beach, that would affect you if you do it right. Amen. So these categories, these things that we're talking about, if you'll look into these, if you'll think in categories, you know, it'll help you. You know, read a book. All leaders are readers. So, you know, we read the Bible. We listen to preaching online and live. We do that. We do that like eating here. That's just something that we all do. And so we pray, we fast, we worship, we listen. Listen, the goal of cleaning out clutter will affect your spiritual life. I had a friend who was, she was my boss when I worked at a church in Austin, Sandra. And she told me one time, she said, your house is a reflection of your spirit. What does your house look like? Mm-hmm. So, okay, well, I'm going to move right along on that. Praise the Lord. I love the car thing. The car thing is what I love the most. You know, everybody's like, oh, praise the Lord, you know, thank you. And then, and I'm going to be this great leader. And then they open their car door and two big gulps fall out on the ground and, you know, stuff like that. That's always real interesting to me. But these are the kind of goals we can, hey, let's shape up. Let's do what we need to do. And we all need something. We can move forward on some things. But you have to put things in categories. If you don't put things in categories, you probably won't get as far as you want to go. So think in categories. Amen. What do you want to change? What do you want to learn? Where do you want to go? And how can you help others or be an influence? Those are all good categories. Number four, be specific. If a goal isn't measurable, we have no way of knowing whether we accomplished it or not. So be specific about it. You know, if you're going to lose weight, you need a target and a timeline. You have to do both of those things. You know, you might aim high and fall a little short in some of the things, but the good news is you have a revision to your vision and you can keep going. If you decide you're going to save this much money in a year and you get up there and you've only saved 20,000 instead of 30, it's real easy to say, well, I'm revising. I'll start moving forward. Yeah. Amen. You're like, Pastor, I just want to save $5. Yeah. Well, start with five and move up. Make it a goal. Make it a goal that you don't spend it. You know what we used to do in the old days around here? I don't know if y'all remember this, but we all kept a $100 bill in our pocket, in our wallets, and we wouldn't spend it. Why? Because I always have money. That's the thought. I have money. And what you're thinking is who you are. I have money. I'm okay. Now, I can't tell you how many times I gave $100 away. So I started doing 200. One that was always in there and one that I could always give away. But the idea, it's a mental thing. See? And so, but that could be a goal in your life. You can save. You can do these practices. I'm going to practice having money. Amen. Whatever it is, it might be practice, get better, be specific about it, but it needs to be measurable. Now, number five, write it down. The shortest pencil is longer than the longest memory. So we have, you know, at some point you have to verbalize your goal. Now we're really good at that because we're faith people. We're going to verbalize our goal. If that's an act of faith, but when you write it down, it holds you accountable. It holds you. You can go back and look about it. You can say, oh, we didn't do that. I actually put it up on my board in the office, and then every year we go through that. And then I'll say, John, we haven't done this yet. John, what do you, Danny, remember we're doing this. We'll start talking about what we did. We knocked them out last year. We sure did. And but we're accountable for it. This is what the Lord told us to do. So we're going to knock these things out. Yeah. Amen. And so be specific, write it down, know what you're going to go, and then you'll be accountable for it. What does it say? Write the vision, make it plain. Yeah. Then the runners can run. Okay. Number six. Y'all good so far? Yeah. Number six, include others. Nothing cements a relationship like a shared goal. Share your goal with someone. Goals are relational glue. It's going to help you. When you go after a goal with another person, it just doubles your joy. Two people are happy when you conquer. Amen. We say, we did it. We made it. Praise the Lord. Amen. I know some of y'all have worked out together over the years and there was success there because you were doing it together. Amen. And we've all around here done things together and had great success at it, but include others. Number seven. Celebrate along the way. So when you reach goals, celebrate. When a prayer is answered, throw a party. Get excited about it. Think about it. See, you just turned an imagination into a memory. You know what testimony really means? And when you get down into the original language, it actually means do it again. Do you know that? It means do it again. And so when you give your testimony, that's just like a prophecy. It's just setting up, the people who hear that testimony to win just like you did. That's why we want wins. That's why we want you to come tell us wins. That's why we want you to testify. Because then other people say, well, God's no respecter of person. They got healed, I could get healed. They got blessed, I could get blessed. Amen. And so we want to make sure that we get a hold of these kind of things and we understand that and we celebrate along the way. We give our testimonies. Number 8, dream big. Goals are big and small. They're short-termed and long-termed. Here's my advice. Have a big one in the mix. I mean, have one that's crazy. Because, you know, and don't worry about people. They're already talking about you. Big dreams turn you into big people. It'll change your life. If you learn to stretch, if you stretch yourself, you learn to reach further, you're going to get further down the line. You have to go ahead and be willing to, you know, get out of that comfort zone. Move out of that comfort zone. Remember, you can't do it anyway. If it's a God dream, it needs to be bigger than you. So there are things that are bigger. And you know, what I've seen in, personally in my life is that I've been able to dream bigger year after year. I get down the road and my dreams got bigger. And so the Lord just released to us on Tuesday that in 6 months we're going to start looking for land. And that God already picks it out. But we were big enough to get this. We're big enough. It's paid off. You can get big enough to be debt free and then you can do some other things. You can get big enough to, you know, what's your, maybe your goal would be to, not have to pay a payment on a car. Yeah. You could buy a car debt free. Well, now, like, well, what does that matter in the kingdom of God? Well, the Bible says that God wants you blessed so you'll be an influence. See, the motivation for accumulation is distribution, but it's also influence. If people can see how good God is through you and what's going on in your life, like, I'm not struggling with being underwater with payments. I'm not struggling with not being able to make it. I'm not struggling with this problem or that problem. God has, that doesn't, the Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. So it doesn't mean there's not attacks. It doesn't mean things don't happen. It doesn't mean that you've made it all the way. We're all still growing. We don't know everything. But the truth is that we can actually go ahead and get out there and have these things and there'll be an influence on other people. So, you know, I have peers and associates that used to be a network of ministers together. I'm all really a member of a different group under ordination. But this group that we all hung around together is Pastor John's pastors and stuff. And so when we got this building and we paid it off, one of the pastors said, "That's never happened to anyone in our group." And there are a lot of people. And there were several things like that with us that hadn't happened to other people. Now, I don't say that to brag. It's all totally God. But what I'm saying is, if God did it for us, he'll do it for you, brother. That's what I'm saying. God needs you to be a leader as you go in it. Amen. Okay, you good? All right, so dream big. Get one dream. Now, well, I don't know. I don't know what it is. Well, step one, pray. Ask the Lord, what's a bigger dream? You know, something that he has to bring to pass. He'll need your help because you're the hands and feet. You're the voice, but he needs to, you need to dream big. All right, number 9, think long. Okay? Think long. Big dreams translate into long goals. Most people spend more time planning their summer vacation than they do their life. And that's sad. Spend all their time on that. Do you need to plan your summer vacation? Yes. Do you need to go? Yes. But you need to think about your life. And I mentioned this to you on Sunday. You need to think about more than you. You need to think about your children's children. And I was reminding you of Daniel. Daniel prayed these prayers. He never even saw them come to pass while he was on the earth. But he continued to pray all those years. He didn't wait till the last few years. He just prayed them believing God, that God's will would be done. He's praying God's will for the future people on the earth and the end times. And so I guess that's where you have to go back and ask yourself, do you even care about that? But you know, probably some of us here can really relate. When you have grandchildren, you'll start thinking about it. When I saw that little baby, I was like, I got to do something. This is about more than me and my son. This is about other generations here. And you start thinking about it, and then all of your children. We have to think about them. We have to think about what we could do, our long-range goals, which could help them. Amen. All right. So, and the last one. Here's the last one, number 10. Pray again. In other words, full circle. We pray to start, we pray along the way, and we pray when we reach the goal. Now, prayer does two things for us concerning getting goals. And I want you, this is the important part I wanted you to hear. So, prayer, the first thing that it does when you're praying along the way, getting into moving forward in your goals, is it ordains divine opportunities as you're going. Because I would say 99.9% of the time, your goal involves other people. You're going to have some divine appointments if you're going to do it God's way. And so you would be praying along the way, wanting to succeed and knowing, hey, if I met them, well, I could just stand here and tell you right now, I wouldn't even be doing this if I hadn't met certain people. Yeah. It was about the people I met. It's about the people that I worked for. It's about my teachers and my mentors. It's about those people. And then there are people in this room right now that we were together in the 90s. And some of them were little bitty childrens. And then God put us back together. So there were those moments. I met John and Rachel in Austin at Victory Christian Center. And we did bus ministry together way back then. What was the bus you drove? He drove Zacchaeus. How many buses did we have? Like 9 or something? More? Okay, so we did what was called Saturday Sunday School. We were the children's pastors. And we did it on Sunday. We did it on Saturday. I feel like I was just doing it all my life. But anyway, but you know, God used that divine appointment. And then, so when I would go to preach in other places, Rachel would just tell John, we're going to go wherever she goes. We're going to go wherever she goes. And so they ended up coming up here and have served for years now, because of those divine appointments. You're going to have some divine appointments in 2025. I guarantee you. So just get ready for them, but pray for them. And then you'll be able to, see and understand what's going on. Now, this is my favorite part right here. Reticular activating system. Do you know what that is? Okay, so it's a group of nerve cells, and that determine what gets noticed or unnoticed in your life. I'm going to make it real easy for you, but this is going on in your brain. So, ladies, when you were pregnant, or gentlemen, when your wife was pregnant, you saw every pregnant person there was. There's one. Am I right? There's one. There's one. There's one. So Danny got a red car. Okay. We liked the red car. What is it? A Denali, Yukon Denali or something? Okay. It's fancy. But anyway, it's real pretty and we like the color. So what happens? Me and Deb are going down the road and I go, look at that red. And 5 red cars lined up. And so we're picking out the reds. So everyone, we're looking at red cars now, looking at red cars. Why? Because we focused on that liking that red. Now I'm going to show you something about this. This is going to be really cool. We focused on that. And so your brain will actually help you focus on what you need to focus on. But sometimes you might start focusing on the wrong thing. I will show you this. This is so cool. So, with prayer sanctifies that system. What I mean by that is it cleans it out. When you pray, it will clean that out and you'll know whether you're focusing on the right thing or not. Yeah, you start looking at, okay, so let's say you're an investor and you started looking at a stock. And you're looking at it, looking at it, looking at it, and you're looking at all the products or whatever that come out of it, and you start focusing on it and focusing on it, focusing on it. But you want to pray before you buy that stock. So what do? You want to take this system and sanctify it. So because you've been looking at it so long, you're picking that out everywhere you go. So when Tesla came out, I was involved in owning stock in Tesla, okay? So I saw Teslas everywhere. I just saw them everywhere. I don't want one. I like petroleum. But I thought it was a smart, it was a disruption. It was a disruption. The man's really smart. And there was a disruption. And so I started looking at disruptions. But what happened is, right before I got involved with it, the Lord had put on my heart to pray for Mr. Musk. I didn't know him. I didn't care about him. As far as I knew, there's just no, but I started praying for him. And I started praying for him, so I actually decided to buy the stock. Well, I bought the stock, and when I bought the stock, it split. And then it went, and so I was right on there. And so I was led to the right thing. And so I had my eye on that. I had my eye on that. But along the way, I would need to pray whether to, I'm using this as an example, okay? Whether to hold them or fold them. Because there could be a time, kids are having fun, could be a time when you need to sell that thing. And so you need to hear from God. Church, listen to me. Don't invest in the stock market if you're not going to pray. You'll lose your shirt. You got to learn something. You got to know what's going on. And then when you invest, you have to learn to pay attention to it. And then on top of all that, you better pray. Okay. But I was just trying to use that as an example. But so my eyes on it. But what ends up happening is I was more interested then in praying for the man than the stock. I didn't make money. It turned out very well for me. But, and then it went and crashed, and then it came up and I held on to it, and now I'm doing really good again. But the thing about it is I began to get interested in the man. And you can think what you want to think about him. I have a prayer assignment about him, and it's still going. So the idea from God wasn't even really that I was invested in that stock as much as it was the prayer invested in the man. Can you see that? And so it took prayer to get involved to sanctify my reticular activating system, and I moved to the right trail about it. Now, if God says sell, I'll sell. I don't care. I really don't care. But the truth is that now we really need to pray for him. And so, like I said, think what you want, but we need to pray for him. And so God will line these things up for you. Now, so let me tell it to you again. It will sanctify the system. It'll, instead of you noticing what you notice, it'll help you start noticing what God is noticing. You'll notice what God is noticing. If God is saying, look at this, pray for this, do this, get this, invest in this, buy this land, a witness to that person, give to these churches that are being built in El Salvador, whatever it is that we're doing because we're noticing what God notices. When I first started looking at, and I've known Pastor Hammond for a long time, but when this came up on my radar, I began to see God is noticing that we need to help build these churches around the world. 50 in 5 years, and man, they're coming on the scene quick. We're doing really good. I just saw a testimony of the one that started in Ireland, El Salvador, Guatemala, several in Dominican Republic. One's going up in Mexico. I mean, they're coming up fast. You're doing that. You're doing that. And we're going to do it all the way until we do about $200,000 worth. That's the goal. We have a goal. And it's a God goal. Amen. Amen. All right. So now get this part. Don't fall off because I'm going to close, but I want to tell you this. There's a word in prayer a word in the original language in prayer that is a throwback from the ancient times. And it's called watchman. It's like watchman, but it's the word prayer too. It's like a watchman, but it means prayer. What they did back then was they got on the wall and they were watching for armies that could be coming after them or caravans bringing the goods. Mm-hmm. And you need to think that way. Watch out for the enemy or the goods that are coming in. Whatever form, whatever the blessing is. And so, when we're praying, this is how we're aligning ourselves. We're aligning ourselves to pay attention to what's going on. That word means set a trap. That actual word means set a trap. That prayer word means set a trap. And so that's the way that we take thoughts and ideas and dreams captive. We pray and it'll set a trap and we'll start throwing out stuff we really shouldn't do. I'm not doing that. Yeah, but you need to invest in this. Not if God says I'm not, I'm not. Well, you need to be a part of this company. Not if God doesn't tell me, yes, I'm not. So, you know, I was thinking about how, you know, we've all done the multi-level marketing over the years. You may have, you may hate them, whatever. But there's that feeling, if everybody might be blessed. If I don't get in on it, I'll be the only one that loses. You better say no to the devil right there, because that's a trap right there. That's a trap. Now, am I against the marketing? Absolutely not. But what I'm against is the devil trying to force you into a hand you don't need to be in. You got to find out from God if you're supposed to be in that company. And I know some of y'all are in a company like that. That's fine with me, but just make sure if you're going to get in anything that you get into what God tells you to get in. Amen. Amen. And so when you're praying, and you're seeking God. And I'm not talking about, Lord, this is Roxy and I'm down here in Smithwick, Texas. And I want to know what you think about. No, I'm talking about really praying. Lord, I'm reaching out into the realm. I'm getting down into my heart. And I praise you and I love you and I worship you. And I thank you because I want to know what you want. I want to do what you want. So, Father, I thank you for filling my heart and my mind with what you want. And I always say this to the Lord. Lord, you said to write on our hearts and on your heart who we are. You remember that scripture over in Isaiah? He wiped out our transgressions and he said, now you write what you want written. And I always tell him, I am your faithful daughter who will do anything that is made clear to me. And when you get that attitude, you won't lose. You will win and you'll stay out of traps. Well, I don't know how to hear God. Keep praying, keep reading the word, and you'll know how to hear God. Keep going. And if you really, really, really know how to pray, come here on Tuesdays because we are praying. Amen. Y'all receive this tonight? Yeah. All right. 10 ways. Pray. Check your motives. Think in categories. Be specific. Write it down. Include others. Celebrate along the way. Dream big. Think long and pray again. If you took notes, I'll read it again. Pray. Check your motives. Think in categories. Make yourself a list of categories. Be specific. Write it down. Include others. Celebrate along the way. Dream big. Think long. Pray again. Got it? Father, we thank you for the word tonight. We thank you for blessing the word. We thank you for blessing those that are here. We thank you that the eyes of our understanding are being enlightened to know the hope of your calling. Lord, we love you. And we want to spend our life dreaming big with your dreams. And so we thank you, Lord. We thank you. We choose to do these things. We thank you for big dreams. We know that you can bring them to pass. We thank you, Lord, that we're able to let go of what needs to be let go of and move on with things that we need to do in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for blessing everyone's bodies tonight. I thank you that you are the healer, and we receive our healing tonight in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that the blessing of the Lord makes one rich and he adds no sorrow to it, that we are blessed financially. And I thank you, Lord, for the tither and the giver. The tither is the devourer is rebuked from them. The windows of heaven are open. I thank you, Lord, for the giver. And the giver will receive back good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. I thank you, Lord, for blessing everyone in the house with all they've done, all they've given, all the service that they've done toward God. And I thank you for blessing their Christmas. I thank you for blessing our children on next Sunday night as they perform the Christmas play for us. And I thank you, Lord, for blessing our evening together. I thank you for blessing Sunday morning as well, what we're going to do then. And I thank you, Lord, if there's anyone doing without, I thank you that you make supply in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory. Bye-bye. Okay. I was telling the staff today, I said, they always do this to me from the camera booth. So I was waiting for it. Dad, think about what the people out there think. What is she doing? I've done some dumb things on the camera. Praise the Lord anyway. Let's receive our offering tonight. Praise God. Come on, brothers. Now, I told y'all that the Lord spoke to me Monday and said in 6 months we are... Hey, come here. Said that we are going to... Come stand by me. Don't y'all love Art? Yes. He does a great job, doesn't he? Yes. So this is a seed that is being sown. Now get this. Someone in the congregation is sowing a seed, not for the purchase of the land, but in faith for the land. Isn't that good? We haven't even started. I mean, we do have a building fund, but they're actually just sowing this in faith that we have the land. Okay. Praise the Lord. Now, and I know some of you are giving online. Give via text message the amount you want to give to VCHL and the amount you want to give, 73256. Click the link and complete your gift, and you'll see what to do right there. So as far as the Lord told me Monday, that within 6 months, he will show us a piece of property. And he already told me what to do. He told me to build the sanctuary first. You know, we already have plans. Well, we have semi-plans. We're going to go ahead and get them ready. And we're going to be ready to build a campus that is beautiful. And so it's way over our heads. God will do it. He's done it every time. So listen, if right then you went, this is God's deal. He got us this far. He can get us the rest of the way. And I believe it's going to be a blessing to the community. It's going to be big enough to fill the house with all of the Great Awakening people. Amen. Praise the Lord. How many of you are coming Sunday? So Sunday morning we're going to do communion. And we're going to kind of have our more serious time about Christmas on Sunday morning. Then we'll party on Sunday night. So it'll be real sweet. And the kids are going to do something great. So they're practicing right now, I understand. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And who's going to win the cookie contest? You are? Okay. Yep. Let it be done according to your faith. Amen. But we always have a lot of fun. It's always good. So please come. It'll be good. Remember, Danny said there won't be church on Christmas, obviously. We celebrate that with our families. But then we'll be back. But when we come back, the Sunday right before New Year's, we're going to have a New Year's meeting in here. So it will be rather prophetic. So just be ready for that, because you're going to get a good word. God's going to bless you for the year. Amen. Stand up. God is good. Anybody have something to say? Testimony? Jesse, you got something you want to say? Kyle does. Tell us. The thing? And you got it? Praise the Lord. All right. Yes?
I had a miraculous healing today on my eyes. Jesus, I was just praising and rejoicing. I couldn't see driving. My eyes were totally blurry. Couldn't see anything. It just happened all of a sudden. And the prayer call this morning said, look for his goodness instead of my problems, right? And so I said, Lord, you're good. Your mercy endures forever. And then he said, rejoice. So I just started rejoicing. Yeah. And then it came to me what Pastor said last Wednesday. Jesus asked the blind man, what do you want me to do for you? And I said, Jesus, I want to receive my sight. And then he reminded me that when I had the shingles, I said, Jesus, I'm going to be like that one leper and come back and thank you for healing me. And so I said that, and within 5 minutes, my sight was completely healed.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. He is the healer. He definitely is. Thank you, Lord, for it. He'll do it. If he did it for Susanna, he'll do it for you. How long before the baby comes? We got a month?
About a month.
All right. Then he'll be right here. Look at Daddy there going, ooh. Yes, Jesse.
So you remember several Sundays ago, Pastor had us write down what she could come into agreement with us for. One of the things I wrote down is we're working to be debt-free.
Amen.
And so we had two significant debts paid in full within a two-day time span.
Ooh, glory
we just
God.
It was like, boom, there, and then again, boom, there. And I was like, woo! Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Actually, the first debt was paid, and I told Larry, I said, the ceiling's broken. Now watch, it's like the home runs. You hit one, you're going to hit another one.
Yeah.
So 2 days later, boom, we were able to do another one. So anyway, praise
Amen.
God.
Okay, well, if the 4 minute mile's been broken, you can go right on through, right? Once it's been broken, you can go through. And believe me, it's broken here. This is debt free. This is debt free. You're on your way. And there are some others, our Sunday morning people that should be here tonight. No condemnation. But all the other people that come here, there's several people that are debt-free. Amy, you're debt-free? Praise the Lord. I got tickled at somebody. Oh, Ron. Ron said, I'm believing God. And then he went, oh, I'm debt-free. He forgot he was debt-free. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. It's good. God is good, y'all. He's good. Well, I just heard someone say, why do we care if we're debt free? Because then when God calls you to do whatever he calls you to do, you're free to do it. You don't have a covenant with anybody else. You can just do what God says. Amen. That's what I like about it. I can go tonight. If he called me to go anywhere in the world, I could go. Except that I have to work here. So praise the Lord. Father, we thank you that we're the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Blessing is overtaking us today. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. Everything we put our hands to do prospers. And Father dear, as we go out of here, we thank you that we are no longer victims, but victors in Jesus' name. Amen.